We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, how are you? Welcome in. Sports Radio, WEEI. And before we even begin the show today, Megan, I should tell you, I have worked with a lot of different people in my life.
I've come on different studios?
I've come on the air after people. Mike Adams, Scott Zoll. I mean, you know, lots of different people of varying hygiene. This is the most foul, rancid stink I've ever walked in. I'm serious. Like, to walk into this today, I thought someone or something died in here.
What happened?
It's disgusting.
This is preposterous. This is like unhealthy.
Smell. It's the worst smell. We're just sitting in it, and it's attaching itself to us. You brought a trash can over next to you.
Seriously, on the Twitch chat, I might vomit. I've never experienced anything like this.
This is hazardous in my workplace. We walked in.
It's a biohazard.
And I screamed. And Terp looked up and was like, "What's happening?" And I asked, "What happened in here?" Because to be fully transparent, we've been walking into this studio recently. And it's just been smelling like farts. Like, all with the new show lineup that Fourier and Gresh just sit in here and fart. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what they do for 4 hours.
I think they just, like, have, like, a contest.
Today?
To see who can crap their pants harder, because that's what it smells like right now.
It's so disgusting in here. We found out Fourier proudly made Brussels sprouts in the kitchen, brought them in here, ate them in here, and then,
then he's trying to lose weight.
Pooped them out.
Then he metabolized them remarkably fast.
You know how, like, you're around something that smells, eventually you get used to it? I'm not getting used to it.
No.
Like, I'm not, it's worse. Like, every second it makes it worse. It's like, like a chemical attack is what
it smells
like.
It smells like 100 dead rats have just been, you know, beached out of the ocean.
No, legitimately thought
at low tide
something died in that studio. Because I was in there Sunday morning, and it did not smell like that. I was just over 24 hours. Oh. I was in that studio doing radio with Chris Schein. No scents, no odors, no nothing. Walk in there today, it legitimately smells like a rat died in there.
It's like, and then my we figured it out.
Fourier nuked his Brussels sprouts. God bless him. He's trying to lose weight. It smells like dead carcasses in there. It is disgusting.
I went out in the hallway.
All time stuff.
I went out in the hallway and I was like,
"I'm about to go out in the hallway.
What the hell happened in here?" And he told me, "Oh, you don't want to start a war. You don't want to start this." I'm like, "Start what, dude?"
The great Mark Mingles is here, who takes care of our
thank
building.
Thank you.
Pass me that bottle.
We've got some
he's got some spray.
Coming.
Spray right over here. Lysol. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is. Thank I mean,
you.
Listen.
Is it like an odor?
Yeah, any Febreze out there? That'd be great too. I'm going to freebase this.
It is so gnarly in here.
I'm pretty, these things, I've lived, you know, I'm a guy. I've lived in nasty apartments before. I've lived with people who were not the greatest hygiene, but
my name is Asshat.
I mean, my God. My God.
I have a dog at home right now who has diarrhea, and it is nothing compared to what is happening in this studio right now. It is.
I don't think Guantanamo Bay is like this.
We need to push through it. This is
I don't
disgusting.
Know if I honestly don't know if I can do
this.
This
is an issue. I need Ken to address this issue. Ken Laird, please address this issue immediately. We need a memo out to the company.
You
no more Brussels sprouts. Whatever happened today in the midday show can never happen again.
Yeah, we need a manager's meeting or something, and we have to address this, whether it's the two of them ripping ass in here or the Brussels sprout situation, the combination of the two. This is an unhealthy working environment. That's the only thing I can say. Thank you. Fourier's in here with the Febreze.
Yeah, like that's going to go far.
Yeah, well, you know, he who committed the crime, however that thing goes.
Where did you get that Febreze?
Okay, stop. It barely smells in here.
I'm not being dramatic.
And that is the cost of all your mocking and your shaming over the past year about how fat it was. So now I'm trying to lose weight, and you're shaming me for it. That's not right.
No. I'm not shaming you for losing weight.
Well, Mega was shaming me for it. I have to eat vegetables.
If this is what we have to deal with, I'd rather
for
you
the record,
be fat.
I didn't fart once.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't fart once.
Sure.
I will admit, walking in here, it did smell a little bit.
Just a little bit?
Oh, I wonder
a
why.
I think
bit?
I was used to it.
The Glassware studio is foggy.
It smells like someone dug up a casket and opened it in the studio.
Yeah, like the Ark of the Covenant.
and that's what killed everybody.
Maggots fell out.
Sorry. You guys want to keep this?
Yes, I would like to keep
this.
This
actually made it worse.
I don't know. At least it's masking. The Febreze is masking it somewhat.
That was dead animals and flowers.
Awesome. Yeah, right. You spray a line of Febreze on the table.
Never again.
Snort it up right now.
This one's for free.
I cannot promise anything.
No, I need you to promise it right now, Christian.
I can't eat fish. Ugh. I can't eat Brussels sprouts. You tell me what's
These
allowed
to eat.
These are
basic common
What are you allowed to eat? Tell me. Give me a list of things you're allowed to eat.
Have a peanut butter sandwich.
That's too many carbs. I have to eat really lean foods with not a lot of carbs and not
okay,
a lot of like
how about
anything.
Step one? Don't get fat in the first place. That's you okay. do this
Again,
every year.
See what she does? I'm going to HR right now to complain about
I'm
you
I'm going to HR
me.
To
we
complain
complained.
About the smell.
You can't,
I went to
you
Ken.
Can't get complain. I opened
this
a bag
is hazardous.
Of chips. I opened a bag of chips. When you open chips, don't you?
You
open
white cheddar popcorn.
Now it smells like white cheddar Brussels sprout popcorn.
I like the smell of chips. You're ruining that for me now.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
Just get out of here.
This is
kind of
the
smelly Brussels sprout
way your life is going to be for a while now.
Why? Because I have
I'm
going to
be eating
do
like this every
you?
Single
we
day.
We will do our show
Whenever
in the
you
other
show,
studio.
You're have this.
We'll
you
do our show in the other studio.
I'm sorry. You guys can do it in the studio.
We might do it. If it's going to be like this, like nobody can work like this.
Did you or did you not soil your pants today?
I didn't fart once. I told you.
That's
not what I asked
lie.
You.
That's
not
that's
what I asked
lie.
You.
How are you soiling your pants if you're not farting?
That's a lie.
I'm sorry. You guys are so much better
you
than
didn't
me.
Fart
you're
once
skinny.
On air today?
You're in shape.
Sometimes you gamble on
you
a fart and it goes south.
You know, you never fart. You don't eat anyway, so I don't know what the big deal is. But here we go again. Eat a burger, Mago. How about that?
That's true, Fourier. People look at me and you and say, wow, that guy, the other guy's in shape, not you. That's what they say when they look at the two of us.
Thoughts and prayers to your car.
And to your intestinal system. My goodness. Let me just say, all right, as someone who's gambled on a fart and lost before, you know.
What is that story?
I think that may be what happened with Fourier. He says, I didn't fart. I believe him.
What happened in here wasn't a fart.
I believe him. I think he actually made.
It was a fart with an SH.
Exactly. I don't know if we can say that on air. Is what happened. I don't think you can say that either, but I think that's what it is. And as has been said many times, if you won every time, it wouldn't be called gambling. So I think what happened is he gambled on a fart and lost, and we had to deal with it when we came in here. That's my theory, and I'm sticking with it. Anyways.
It smells like there was one day when I was getting a ride with my friend to high school, and she accidentally ran over part of a deer carcass that had been out for like 2 days on the side of the road, or like in the lane of the road, and she drove with this dead, just rotting animal attached to the complete underneath of her car.
And even
you
that was
smell it
bad.
Coming through the vents. That's what this smells like.
Yeah. Yeah. One time at a bar I was working in, a rat died in the vents. And so all the air coming through the vent picked up the scent of this dead rat.
That would be
and
refreshing
blew it into the bar.
To the studio.
That,
their
if that happened right now, I would be right up next to the thing like... you know, like someone who was like trapped in like a, you know, like
you'd be like, am I in a cedar closet?
Oh,
it
I'd
smells
be breathing it
in
like
here.
It was oxygen and I'm drowning. I'd be like, yes, thank you,
For
God.
For people who are like, you're making too big of a deal out of this.
We're not.
We're in a windowless room.
Yeah.
In a sub basement. Like there is nowhere for this air to go.
Mm-mm.
This is our life now.
Yeah.
And this is the last week that we have without a vulture infestation coming into the building.
Oh, that's right. I'm not going to have to come in here as much.
This is the last week without...
This is like burning my nose.
Jones joining. So this was supposed to be like the feel-good week. And now we sit in here and it's just like ass central. This is...
And not in a good way.
No, Ass Central is usually a really happy place to be.
I love it.
This is a sad place.
Ass Central's my favorite.
I'm very sad about how bad it smells in that studio.
Yeah, this is rough. This is rough. I'll tell you what.
I know how
John Henry felt on Friday night.
We'll get to that in a second. Fourier, and I'm not going to like set these parameters for anyone else, but Fourier is not allowed to eat Brussels sprouts, fish, or broccoli, because I know that's where he's going next.
He microwaved fish last week, and I park on the top floor, and I can smell it as soon as I walked through the reception area.
That's again,
two flights of stairs that the scent has traveled.
And he's like, oh, what? I can't cook fish. No office in America is it okay to do that.
Okay, so
is it okay to microwave fish?
Who?
Sea fish. You're not allowed to. No, that's just, I mean, that's basic common courtesy.
Tomorrow, we're going to come in, and he's going to be eating, like, raw eggs. Like some kind of egg salad.
Well, we sell a big ham.
He's going to have egg salad and asparagus is what
you know
he's going
to
have tomorrow.
We're all ripping on Fourier here, but Gresh was in here too. Okay?
No, Gresh was like very sheepishly like, I never eat in studio. And I was like, Gresh.
Maybe he wasn't eating in
studio. Sweet Gresh, angel Gresh, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm asking why you didn't say anything while it was happening.
Mm.
Like, you were a witness.
Yeah.
You were an accomplice, essentially. You let this happen.
And if he was in here, you know,
in a court of law, he has some responsibility.
That is aiding and abetting. That's exactly right. He was aiding and abetting Fourier's funk.
I understand he's trying to make his new radio partner feel comfortable and confident and everything, but you give him an inch, he's going to go a mile with this.
I can't believe how bad it smelled when we walked in here. I'm starting to get a little better now because of the Lysol and the Febreze and everything, but like you can still, there's still like undercurrents of it. You know, there's still like a faint scent
I'm
in the air.
I'm worried that when I go home this evening, this is what I'm going to smell like.
Yeah, like Seinfeld with the B.O., remember?
Yes, with the car, the bad car smell. That's what this is.
Then they
is.
Can't get it off themselves.
Yes, it's going to like, guys, I have long hair. It's going to attach itself in my hair. It's going to be in my skin. Ken, we need to have an entire station meeting.
I think Ken's going to lunch with those guys right now.
Oh God,
they're having Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprout, all you can eat Brussels sprouts. Well, that's great. Anyways, we have, I believe it or not, a lot to get to today. If our brains aren't completely fried by the smell in here, and we'll start with winter weekend out in Springfield with the Red Sox because why not? You know, it was an interesting weekend. I likened it to Woodstock, but if Woodstock went backwards, like the first
Hold
night,
on.
It's Woodstock.
How is this bad like Woodstock. Woodstock?
It was like Woodstock.
It was like Woodstock '99.
Like Woodstock '99. Like okay. The first night was like the last night of Woodstock '99. All the porta potties were on fire and people were screaming and bathing in their own filth and all that. That was the first night. And then after that, it got chiller and like Saturday was actually okay. But the way that thing started and the open forum for Red Sox fans to voice their displeasure with the front office, with Chaim Bloom, with ownership and everybody else, let's just say they took full advantage of that and made their voices heard. We'll get to what was said, how the ownership group tried to put lipstick on the pig that has been the last year and offseason of the Boston Red Sox, and we'll get to the explanation that we got from Chaim Bloom the next day and from Sam Kennedy as well, the reactions to it, maybe even more of the story. So we'll get to all of that. We'll get to your phone calls as well, 617-779-7937. We also got a ton of division weekend stuff to get to as well. It's all coming up next here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Would you like to address those concerns to fans who say, why aren't you at the top if the prices are at the top?
Yeah. I think the most informed thing I can say is that it's expensive to have baseball players. To have the best
Sports Radio WEEI. It's Arcan. It's Mego. We're here with you until 6 o'clock, and that was just a small sampling of what you heard if you were there Friday night out in Springfield. Just a short hop, skip, and a two-hour drive away from Fenway Park. Winter weekend out there. It was. I was there for Saturday. I had my Saturday show from 1 to 4. Well, it was really 1:15, 1:20 to 4 because David Ortiz sat down with Ken and Curtis right before their show ended. And rather than, you know, stick to a schedule or something, you let Big Poppy talk as long as he wants to. But I got to talk to Chaim. I got to ask him about that. I also spoke with Tanner Houck and Chris Martin, who was Red Sox. And all in all, I thought that second day was a pretty fun, chill, kind of more of what you expect when you think of Red Sox winter weekend. You don't expect a room full of angry people all heckling and jeering the front office. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, that was a new one. I wasn't expecting that. No, not at this thing. The type of people who go to these things aren't the type of people who generally do that. That's in my experience, which isn't, you know, that big. But, like, there's been other bad years. There's been other bad seasons, and they still, you know, sit down and face the music, and they never at a winter weekend festival with, you know, kids trying to steal home, and they had that thing where you throw two pitches, and then you guess the speed on the third one, and you win a prize, and I was always good at that when I was a kid because I had a little noodle arm. I could only throw, like, 30 miles an hour, so I knew my number. But, you know, they had that. They had, like, a little, it was like a... there was someone pitching, but it was like a small baseball field, and kids were, you know, hitting with one of those like foam bats.
Wiffle ball?
It wasn't like wiffle ball though.
No?
No, because the bats were like made out of foam, and there was these like, it was those plastic
when
balls.
When the kids
full of
like
holes.
Got a hit, did they yell like, "Screw John Henry!" And then, like, run for first.
No, that was all. I mean, it was all very family friendly and sort of PG the next day. But man, that Friday night was unlike anything I've ever experienced. And I didn't even experience it. Just watching the videos was really something else. Coop, you were there Friday night, right?
I was there.
So
for
what
all
did,
the awkwardness?
What did people miss who maybe just saw the videos?
So it starts out, they introduce all the players and whatnot that are there for the weekend. They get them off stage, and then they bring on this town hall. And John Henry was never slated to be there. No one knew he was going to be there. Hmm. And I don't know if that was the catalyst or just him being there, period, was the catalyst. Because as soon as he comes out, you know, they announce Jared Krabbe as, you know, Tom Karen as the mediators, Alex Cora, big applause. John Henry, or it went Chaim Bloom, Sam Kennedy, John Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And the booze just got like progressively worse. and they couldn't stop it. I mean, Jared Krabbe, he is what he is.
Krabbe, I mean, he was just sitting there like,
yeah. Yeah. And kudos to him and Tom Karen because they asked legitimate questions.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I would say 99.5% of fans have zero problem with either of those guys.
Yeah. Right.
They're the media guys who one of them at least is a huge fan. So suckered into this situation like anybody else.
And Red Sox PR and Sam Kennedy, they always know what they're doing. So bringing them up on stage,
they're like sacrificial lambs.
Yeah.
They're like, look, you can't be mad at TC and Krabbe.
No. And I think that's what they were hoping for, to stifle some of that, which now makes me kind of believe they were expecting the boos. But I don't think anyone was expecting how bad it ended up being. It was blood in the water.
Was it just supremely awkward?
Yeah, because you would get the boos and then it would kind of settle down because, like Arcan said, it's mostly like season ticket holders that are buying these tickets.
Paying customers who
were
there.
Yeah, it's like $90 for the weekend.
Yeah, it was $50 for a day and like $90 for the 2 days. Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, that's not cheap, you know?
No.
I think a lot of people would pay $90 to be able to boo John Henry in person.
Mm. I think that's what it ended up being. Like, everyone I talked to, they all said the price of admission was worth it just for Friday night. And like, it eventually settled down, and they were able to articulate some of the questions and whatnot. But you would always have someone just chime in and yell, like, Dave Dombrowski, Xander Bogaerts, Theo Epstein. And it would put a pause to everything. And Chaim Bloom would just froze.
Bloom couldn't get a sentence out in the beginning.
I'm very interested to see how, because Nesson's supposed to be airing that tonight. I don't know how they're going to cut that up.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Was she there?
I wish she was
like,
there.
Hey, pipe down.
They would have brought her up on stage and it would have settled everything.
It was...
I'm thinking good.
It was rough. Sam Kennedy, who the next day said that it was awesome, the reaction that they got, had a lot to say about the Xander Bogaerts situation. But let's go ahead and start with that clip you just heard on the way in here. And that was John Henry, who was basically saying and was asked, you know, with ticket prices being so high, why do you keep letting all these players go? If you're going to charge this much, Why do these players keep walking out the door, right? I mean, if you charge this much, you should spend money on the players. Here's what John Henry said.
I think the most informing I can say is that it's expensive to have baseball players. To have the best.
Stop it right there. It's expensive to have baseball players. Yes, John, it is. The question is, since you're charging more than any other team in all of baseball, and I get it, you got a smaller park, but come on.
I understood the question.
You're doing that, and the players are still leaving, okay? Like, the players are still getting paid more to go play somewhere else, and you're concerned about luxury taxes and things like that. That's sort of the problem, but go on.
It's expensive to have baseball players. To have the best.
Weird how they didn't like that answer, huh?
So,
I think I'm losing.
Come on, guys!
So what has enabled us over the years to be able to spend with the Yankees and the Dodgers and is your support. And that support is through ticket prices. It's watching this, but a lot of it for us is ticket.
Put a product on the field.
Yeah, you know, it's really important that we provide accessibility to Fenway. I mean, we cannot grow that next generation of fans without...
Okay, people. Stop it, because now they start talking about it.
Is that Heim or Kennedy?
I believe that's Kennedy.
That was of Kennedy. Kennedy jumped in so many times. Kennedy decides
that when they're talking about ticket prices, that's the avenue that he's going to pivot towards?
Yes, the $9 tickets for students and, cheaper price tickets, which go quickly when the team's good. And when the team's not good are probably easy enough to get. It's just they're not as in high demand. That being said... That doesn't answer the question, and that certainly doesn't, stem the mob or anything. And I think that John Henry really was taken aback by the reaction there. And now I sort of get why he doesn't like to show his face in public all that much. Not that I'm saying he's right here or anything, but, you know, this is it. This is sort of what happens when you duck out of facing people. Eventually, it builds up, it builds up over time. And then when you have a chance, when people finally have a chance to address you, it may not be all sunshine and roses,
I'm sorry. I just think that might have been the worst answer he could have given. It's expensive to pay baseball players to field a team. That's your job as the owner. If you don't want to pay baseball players anymore, get out of the business. Sell it then. Like, nobody's saying that you had to go and spend like the Mets. Or I don't think a lot of fans even want you to spend like the Yankees. But they don't want to see their favorite players get tossed out of town nonstop. They don't want to see between you and your general manager mismanaging contracts of guys who publicly say that they want to be here when you're worth $4 billion.
Yeah.
$4 billion. That's the estimated net worth of John Henry in 2023. It's actually up. Estimated by Forbes, it has gone up since the pandemic. So all the stuff that they tell you about, oh, we lost so much revenue during the pandemic because nobody was watching the games and the season got all reshuffled and canceled and everything. And by the way, don't forget that they could have been the only product on for a month during the pandemic, but the owners couldn't get anywhere with the players in terms of coming to an agreement. So they botched that. He has more money now than he did then. So I just don't understand how you sit there and the answer is it costs too much. If it costs too much, fine. Like, if you don't have the metabolism for it anymore, fine. Don't say that to the fans who are showing up over the weekend because they want to find out what they are going to see this season. Get out of the business then. I mean, honestly, what are you in it for?
The most important thing I can say is that it's expensive to have baseball players.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Am I totally off here, Christian?
No, you're not off. You're not.
That
off
is
at all.
Such a bad answer.
It was a bad answer.
This is the most informed thing I can say.
Does he have media training?
No. No way. Does that sound like a man that has media training?
Has he ever seemed like he had media training?
Like, he just got up there and told on himself.
Yeah. I grew up a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, Stan the man. The other part of it that was upsetting to me was when he said, if you want to spend with teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers, then you have them. It's like, wait a minute. What you think you're spending with the Yankees and the Dodgers? Did the Yankees lose Aaron Judge in free agency, or did they offer him a record-setting contract and keep him there? You know, the Dodgers may have lost a couple of players, but my God, between Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and just a couple other guys there, you can tell that they're committed to spending money on that team. Like, don't compare yourself to those teams. You're not those teams.
And the other thing is, like, you're over the luxury tax. You just weren't spending money well. Like, you weren't.
It's true.
You went and you made the wrong deals. And you couldn't keep the guy who wanted to be here. And then you had to toss a whole bunch of money a year early. I'm not mad at the Rafael Devers deal. I'm not going to pretend like I am. But it's just like, you mismanaged your money. And now you're mad and you don't want to spend more because you don't like the way it was spent before. But if that's the metabolism that you have, like if you've lost your taste for this, then just get out. Because you're in a town where people aren't going to sit there and say, oh, they don't want to spend money. Oh, that's okay. Love the park. The park is so pretty. You can get a cocktail at the park now.
It's true.
Like, that doesn't fly here. It flies if you're coming in from Indiana because you're on a ballpark tour with your son and you want to see Fenway in July. Okay, those people are always going to be there. What about your actual fans, the people who go to Winter Weekend? This is what they're feeling.
Yeah, and they made that very, very clear. Here's a little more from Sam Kennedy as they tried to avoid getting booed off the stage.
We cannot grow that next generation of fans without people being able to get there. And we do have high ticket prices at the high end, mostly corporations and businesses that buy, whether it's luxury boxes or lower box seats. But we also have $9 tickets for every single game, for every student anywhere in New England who can come to Fenway Park.
Losing them again.
And that's really important. We have to make Fenway Park accessible. And it's critical that our fans know that the revenues that we generate go to two places. They go into the player payroll, into the product on the field, and they go into Fenway Park, preserving, protecting, and enhancing Fenway Park. And we are very, very appreciative.
Hold on, stop right there for a second. Did you hear like three different guys all at the same time go, yeah, in your pocket? Yeah,
Statler and Waldorf.
Right
were there
in your pockets where the money goes, huh?
And enhancing Fenway Park. And we are very, very appreciative of the best fan base in all baseball. And we understand why people are restless. And that's what makes this market.
Are you really going to say that's what makes this market great? Okay, thank you.
Sam Kennedy the next day said that it was awesome getting booed like that, which I thought was...
How come you suck?
Okay. All right, Sam. whatever you got to do to get through the thing. I will give them credit for this. They're the only team in town that does things like this, and they're the only one, and they all stood there and they took it. So, I mean, at the very least, you can say that about them. You know, you may not have liked their answers. You may not have liked the offseason. You may not have liked anything that they've done here. But at the very least, they let people throw tomatoes at them for, you know, an hour on Friday night. So, I mean, that's a step up from some of the other ownership groups in town, I would say. Not that I think everyone has to do this.
Okay.
But when there's a bad offseason, they face the music,
Silver
right?
Lining, Mega.
A lot of people, a lot of the ownership, they won't face the music for something like that.
It's
you'll
like
never hear Bill Belichick and the Kraft sit down and do that. I mean, they're not going
to
do something like
oh,
that.
Oh, good. Okay, so they had the transparency to be there?
Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
That's gonna make this season awesome. I'm not mad anymore.
I'm not saying it makes the season good. I'm just saying Bill Belichick's not doing that. Bill Belichick, after a disappointing, crappy season, isn't going to stand up there in front of the fans and let them all rip him and say what they want to say. You know what I mean?
Robert like, that's yeah, not Kraft will.
I don't think so. Is Robert Kraft
in
town halls
like
this?
At his owner's meeting.
Okay, but do they have town halls with like this where people buy tickets and can go in there and say whatever they want? Like, I don't think so. I think this is a unique thing for the Red Sox, which, again, you know, doesn't excuse what's going on.
And I
wouldn't
give him too much credit because this was essentially the first time that we heard from John Henry in what, like 4 years?
It's true.
Years?
Yeah. He doesn't talk much.
2019 spring training, I believe.
And he said that he doesn't feel like spending money anymore, mm-hmm. that it's too expensive.
It is. It's expensive
the
to have a baseball team.
Informed thing I can say.
I didn't realize it was going to be so expensive to own the Boston Red Sox. Man, this is a money pit.
Well, he like, did buy them for like, what, $120 million
that's
at the time?
Okay, that's mm-hmm. fine. Sell them then.
Yeah.
You got
your return already.
If that's how you feel. I mean, if that's sort of what you're thinking. But it's not going to because despite... You know, what we're saying here, and you're right, and I'm right. You know, this isn't acceptable to Boston fans, But what the hell are you going to do about it other than pay $50 to yell at him on a Friday night in January? Like, there's nothing really else you can do. He owns the team. It still makes money, and he's not just going to sell it because people around here want him to. He's got this big portfolio, and he wants to make money, and that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to keep happening. So, unfortunately, this is your only real way to do it. I think that ownership should lean into this. Like, if they have another bad season and another bad offseason next
lean
year...
Lean into, like, we're bad at with our money?
Have, like, a dunk tank, you know? And, like,
like when Roger Goodell walks out on stage and people are booing him, and he's like, yeah, come on, I can take it. Oh, is that the best you got?
Do the whole Oprah thing and just be like, oh, and if you look under your chairs, tomatoes. All right.
Throw a pie in my face. Like, yeah, okay.
Sure. Make it fun.
Do you guys think that if ownership and management had been able to nail down something with Xander Bogaerts and he was still with the team, that they would have got this reaction? Or is this all just predicated on how bad they've been last year?
100% I think it was Xander Bogaerts.
I agree. I think it completely changes it. And I think that was very fresh on a lot of people's minds.
It's they've had bad seasons before. You know, they've had seasons where they came in last place before. But the Bogaerts
69-win season,
it's the combo
this didn't happen.
Of the two.
That pushed it over the top,
I think. It's the combination.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it certainly didn't help that they lost, too. But if they had just won the World Series and Xander Bogaerts got let go, then I think that people would have been a little bit more, you know, they would have been mad, but I don't think they would have been booing him at this thing. But the fact that if it was just, yeah, it was probably the combination because it was just losing and losing a bunch of games, people would still come to the thing. They probably wouldn't boo if it was just losing Bogaerts, but they had won the World Series. People would have been okay with that, too. They might not have liked it. They'd have been okay with it. This, I mean, there was no way that they were getting out of this one alive, really. I mean, it was just, it was a bloodbath up there. It really was. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's talk to Steve, who is in somewhere in Massachusetts. He was at Winter Weekend. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I got to give credit to the fans because they really kept the language clean, but they were not asked tough questions. Bloom was not asked a tough question. Donor's not asked a tough question. I mean, all the questions they were asked from the fans were like scripted. I think they were handed in by the Red Sox and they were planted.
Is that right, Coop? Were there planted questions? Thanks for the call, Steve.
So they weren't planted, but they went around beforehand with note cards, handed them out to fans with Sharpies, and they asked for people to write questions, and the ones that they liked, they took up.
It's not like people were just walking up to the mic and being like, I got something for you, Haim. You know, it's not like it's just people coming out of left field. They picked the questions.
Yeah.
And then they answered them poorly.
They did. They answered them poorly. And when they tried to answer, sometimes the crowd just wouldn't let them answer, including this from Haim Bloom when on Friday night explained the philosophy behind trading Mookie Betts. Listen to him try and get through this.
1 year away from free agency with a superstar player. And we didn't sign him. And I want to explain why, because it relates to where we're going. It relates to where we're going. We didn't sign him because when you make those bets, they're big bets.
Stop it right there. He says bets so many times.
It's like subconscious.
You're
for
talking
him.
About Mookie Betts, who everyone's mad about, and you keep saying bet. Like, oh God, I was cringing so hard when I heard this. He says the word bets like 8 times. And it's just each time it gets worse and worse. You got to back up your bets. And the thing about bets is that bets are really big. And bets, one thing about bets is that a bet's a bet. And it's like.
So that's like a psychology thing where I think he just said it for the first time, heard the booze, and now he was just.
And then he just
I
couldn't get out of
bets.
It. Yeah. Yeah. He couldn't get out of bets. So anyway, he keeps saying bets.
We didn't sign him because when you make those bets, they're big bets. And those bets. Hang with me here. Those bets usually, now y'all know it. You guys are smart. Those bets are much better up front than on the back end. We know that. Every team knows that when they're making those bets.
Stop it!
But if you want to make that type of bet, you better be ready to back it up. You better be ready to surround that bet with a whole lot of talent, a whole lot of young talent, or you're not going to win. And you see it all the time in this game. You see it all the time. And I don't think anybody would disagree where the organization was. We just weren't ready to back up that bet.
We got 10! There's 10 bets. He said bets 10 times.
That's impressive.
Jesus.
I gotta be honest, that's impressive.
Oh, Maron, come on! What do you think? And also, the whole thing, like, where were we in 2019? Like, the team wasn't ready. You were 1 year removed from the best season you'd ever had in the history of the franchise. Ever. All the way back to the 19th century. Like, that was the best team you ever had.
Look, I inherited a really bad product. What can I say?
God. I mean, please. Like, I understand. Maybe things weren't perfect. You didn't have that
same
roster, but
come on. Do you know what the prospects were like? My God.
Really? Oh, that was tough. And, you know, he can't go out there and say, and I know he probably wanted to, but he can't go out there and say, listen, I was told I have to get under the luxury tax, and there was no way I could have done that with while extending Mookie Betts at the same time.
Maybe
unless
that's why John Henry showed up.
Maybe.
To make sure he didn't say that.
Hey, you watch your mouth up there.
He's just, like, shooting daggers at him anytime that he walks towards that line.
I know, really. There was more. We'll play some more of this as well. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We heard from Chaim, and we heard from...
When you make those bets...
Stop saying bets, for the love of God.
Bets.
Please stop saying bets.
Those bets are much better up than making those bets. But if you want to make that type of bet, we're ready to back up that bet.
Who's your favorite baseball player? Mookie Betts! We'll hear from Chaim the next day and from Sam Kennedy the next day as well, because they talked about the Xander Bogaerts move, which really, I think we all agree, was the driving force behind all that vitriol and all the booing and yelling and heckling that you heard on Friday night. We'll get Sam Kennedy and Chaim Bloom's perspective on that move, or lack thereof, I should say, of Xander Bogaerts going to San Diego, and we'll play it for you next.
Is this Public Enemy?
Yeah. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're talking Red Sox winter weekend out in Springfield, which I was at, by the way. Took a while to get out. I did a lot of driving for the station this week.
Yeah.
We had the Christmas party out there in Marlboro. We had winter weekend out in Springfield. I logged a lot of hours in the car today over the course of the past week.
Because there was some significant snow out that way, right?
Well, it was snowing on the way up, so I'm driving up there. I left at like 10:15. And it was snowing while I was driving up, so it routed me around 90 through, like, Carlton and, Charlton, is that what it's called? What's the name of that town?
Sturbridge. Nobody knows what it's called. A single
town.
Yeah,
Charlton and Sturbridge and all those towns, you know, up
no
on the
offense.
Line there. And,
no offense. No, no, no.
You
no.
could
Big
make
time
up,
offense.
Like, three
Central Mass knows
different names, and if they end in ham or mouth, I'll be like, yeah.
There you go. But, yeah, it was sort of a tough ride up there, easier ride back. But once I got there and, you know, was hanging out in the casino for a second, and I actually stopped by on the way out, won some money at the craps table, which was nice.
Hey, now.
It smelled like the craps table in here when we walked in, first of all. But the main talk of the whole thing, even the day after, I mean, you could stay, even though there were a lot of kids and it was a lot more sort of family-friendly during the day and everything, everyone was still talking about what happened on Friday night, including Chaim Bloom and Sam Kennedy. Now, Kennedy went on with Ken and Curtis before I got there and was trying to explain the Xander Bogaerts situation, and may have inadvertently told on himself a couple of times as well. Here's Sam Kennedy on Ken and Curtis Saturday.
I think maybe we were guilty of just being too open and honest about our love for Xander Bogaerts. We really did want to try and keep him a part of the organization.
Hold it right there, Ryan, because when he says that, we were guilty of loving Xander Bogaerts too much. Doesn't it make it sound like they offered him too much money?
Of course.
Right? Wait, is he talking about they were too transparent with him? Like, he took advantage of the situation?
No. It was more related to the narrative, the open narrative that Sam Kennedy and Chaim Bloom
like
talked about.
They were too transparent with everyone.
Xander Bogaerts is our cornerstone. We want him here. We want to win with him. And yes. This is him explaining that what happened and why they were saying.
Okay,
the
so they're
saying.
Still pretending like this situation was totally out of their control.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Basically, yeah. And Bloom said that too later on. But when he says we were guilty of loving Xander too much, you were guilty of not loving him enough, I think, is really the point. You said all these things to make it seem like you cared and that you wanted to sign him and you'd do anything it would take to sign him. And then when it came down to it, you didn't love him at all. You didn't show enough love at all to even really be in the conversation for getting him. So that's a weird way to phrase it. It makes you seem like, you know, you offered too much money. That's not what you did. Listen.
I think maybe we were guilty of just being too open and honest about our love for Xander Bogaerts. We really did want to try and keep him a part of the organization for the rest of his career up until the San Diego winter meetings. We all know what he ended up getting, and right. we just weren't galaxies apart might be appropriate for where those conversations went. And so maybe if you look back and say, what mistakes did we make? Maybe we were just too over the top about our desire to extend him, but those feelings were truthful. We really did want to extend him. And, in the end, we didn't, so that's on us.
Yeah, it is. It's on you. And listen, there's a belief, and I know there was a belief in that building, that Xander Bogaerts wasn't going to forego the opportunity to become a free agent again. The last time he could have been a free agent, he said, nope, I'll take the deal. It was a hometown deal, and for Scott Boras, a Scott Boras client, that's an unusual thing to have happen. And the Red Sox knew that, and they still were like, nope, we're gonna lean real hard into this whole thing about you're a lifelong Red Sox, and we'll really pull at the heartstrings and sort of everything else. I said this at the time with John Lester, but they're doing it again here, too. You ever heard the expression like, hey, nothing personal, it's just business? People say that all the time. The Red Sox do the opposite. They take business out of it and try and make it all personal. And that's what they did with Bogaerts. That's what they did with John Lester. They try and, strip everybody of the idea that they're trying to make money here and talk to them about things like being an all-time Red Sox great.
They used to do it to David Ortiz.
Right. Like, Xander Bogaerts isn't already an all-time Red Sox great. And John Lester, all these other guys who just walk out the door because they're not willing to even pony up. They don't want to look like bad guys. So they say things like, we love Xander too much. Oh, that's the problem. We let it be known that we loved him so much. But, we couldn't afford to keep him, which, again, San Diego offered him a lot of money, all right? That was a big contract. They're talking about it like it was the worst, most ridiculous contract ever written and ever signed, and it's not. Xander Bogaerts was a top three shortstop in all of baseball last year by almost every single measure except for home runs and RBI, and that's it. In on-base percentage, OPS, slugging percentage, basically everything else, he's top three. In short, for all shortstops, not just American League, and people are acting like, oh, well, yeah, that contract was just so ridiculous and such a ridiculous thing. Was it really? Was it that ridiculous? I mean, it was a lot, sure, but you're talking about it like they gave it to some player who didn't deserve it.
Galaxies apart might be appropriate.
If you loved him so much and you were so transparent, you were so open about how much you loved having him here with the Red Sox, why did you offer him 4 years, $90 million. Is that a loving contract?
No.
Does that say, like, we are over the moon for you? We want you to finish your career here? Is that any indication? Like, that, I don't understand how they can talk out of both sides of their mouth and think that anyone's buying that. That the issue was that they were too open about wanting to keep him, and so they lost their leverage in the situation. So he went out to test the market because he knew he was going to get paid more elsewhere. That is not what happened. Like, they completely lost control of the situation after they botched it. That wasn't where the contract was going to be last summer.
It's true.
That wasn't where the contract was going to be in April, in May, in June. Like, you completely misread the situation. You didn't know what you had until he was gone. Literally until he was gone to free agency. So now you sound like some bitchy boyfriend who lost his girlfriend because everybody else knows how hot and awesome she is. And you were just like, eh, whatever.
You took her for granted.
That's what it's like.
I love the town and the players. And I am as guilty as anyone, maybe more so, of falling in love with players, especially players who have been a part of winning a World Series championship. I mean, for me, it was really hard to see Kyle Schwarber go, for example. Right. I knew he was a guy
didn't win a World Series,
wanted
but
to
okay.
be here.
Fit in so well.
And he fit in so well.
He's got to stop. Because, like, on one hand, there are business meetings happening that maybe Sam's not privy to as far as, like, who can be signed and who can't be signed. And meanwhile, you have Sam Kennedy going out there be like, listen, I was really heartbroken because Kyle Schwarber wanted to be here. And we're like, oh, neat. We all wanted Kyle Schwarber. Why didn't you sign him in the first place then? Xander Bogaerts, you love him so much. Why didn't you make a better offer to him? And it's you have these two conflicting things going on where they're doing one thing and Sam Kennedy's like, I don't understand it. It's just, this was a really bad weekend for the Red Sox.
Kyle Schwarber signed a four-year...
$79 million contract.
Not even $80 million.
I looked it up when I heard him say that. I'm like, that is so ridiculous that that would come out of your mouth.
That is not a lot of money. I'm sorry.
And by the way, radio silence. And Schwarber's on record by saying that. Like, it was radio silence from the Red Sox as soon as the offseason hit.
Yeah.
they knew. I mean, they knew they weren't going to approach even that, which is a reasonable amount of money for a guy who hits that many home runs. I know he had a crappy batting average last year, but, like, you know, you pay him for one thing and he does it.
Masataka Yoshida, Kyle Schwarber, Rob Refsnyder, Kyle Schwarber. I mean, look, I know who I'm going with.
Especially when you know J.D. Martinez, you're not keeping him either. You know, and you let Schwarber go. Like, that's just, it's ridiculous. There's more of this that we're going to play later on in the show, but first we got to take a break. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we're going to get into the division round. Mego is over a certain quarterback, and we'll get to more reactions from what was a pretty wild weekend, I'd say, in the NFL. It's all coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.